All right, everybody. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. Please be seated and take your songbook and turn to song number 432, where you sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Again, that's song number 432. We will be singing all four verses. That's 432, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Song number 86, In the Garden. Song number 86, we will be singing all three verses. That's 86, In the Garden.
And the joy we share as we tarry. Great singing this morning. It's good to have you all here with us at Stronghold Baptist Church. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. So if you don't have one of these bulletins, just slip your hand up real high, and one of our ushers will get one to you. And if you open up to the first page, you will see our service time, Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening, again, at 5 p.m., then Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We started the book of 2 Corinthians this last week, so we're going to be in chapter 2 this week. Come on out to Wednesday night Bible study if you can make it here. We'd love to have you. Soul winning opportunities are listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms for the month of November, as well as for the year. Let's go ahead and count up if there's any salvations to report for the week. Yes, sir? One yesterday. Amen. Anybody else have, yes, sir?
Two yesterday.
Cool. Anybody else? So Brother Vernon texted me. One from Thursday. All right. That's cool. Very good. All right. Continuing on with the announcements, we've got the offering totals through the month of November down there at the bottom of the page. Prayer requests, so we added another lady with child, which is great. Congratulations to the Johnson family. Emily is pregnant, so pray for all three of our ladies who are due to be delivered with child. We're waiting on that estimated due date for Mrs. Johnson, but you can see Mrs. Logan is next in line for being delivered and having our church grow by at least one, right? So that's cool. I'll be next year. And then updates. Does anybody have any updates? We heard from Austin that last week Belinda is out of surgery. She had surgery for her cancer, and that was successful, right? I assume now they're probably have to do more testing and get results and things like that. So we'll leave her on the list here as she's recovering, and hopefully everything will be well with her. I added Mountain Baptist Church, Fairmont, West Virginia, Pastor Jason Robinson's, our churches and pastors that we're praying for this week. So please continue to pray for everybody who is on our list. And does anyone else have any updates on prayer requests before we continue? All right. The next event that we have here as a church is the Gingerbread House and Christmas Caroling event. We kind of combine them both into one. You can do one or the other or both as you choose, but Saturday, December 10th is, we're starting off with the Gingerbread Houses in the morning, well, in the afternoon from 1 till about 4 o'clock. It gives you plenty of time, obviously, to build the house, but it takes a while to, you know, we kind of fellowship and hang out and eat some snacks and everything else. We've got a good amount of time there to be able to do this. And then, and believe it or not, you'll probably use all of that time. Some people get real serious with it, and they take their time with all the details on the houses, which is great. It's a lot of fun. If you had not RSVP'd, but you do want to come, the sign-up sheet's out there. But let us know if you're making an addition, if you're making any changes to the sheet, just so that because from a few weeks ago, I made sure that we were good with supplies. I just want to make sure everyone has something to work on while you're here, and we have enough for everybody. So let me know about that if you plan on coming and you had not already RSVP'd. And then the Christmas caroling is going to be we're going to start at about 4:30. So make sure if you're only coming for the Christmas caroling, show up around 4, and we'll get all the instructions and you know how things are going to work. And don't worry about it, too. If you want to come, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun. You don't have to worry about making your voice heard. That's why we go out as a group. So you don't have to think like, oh, I don't want to go Christmas caroling because I don't have the best singing voice. We're all going out together, so it's not like it's going to be a solo or something just for you to have to sing to someone at the door. We're not serenading people, you know, at their doors. We've got a group of people. We're singing Christmas carols, and it should be a lot of fun. So come on out and join us for that. So try to be here at 4 o'clock if you're not going to be here for the Gingerbread House making. And then we're going to go for about an hour, 4:30 to 5:30 local here, right around the church building. And then we'll come back and eat some dinner. All right. So the month of November isn't over yet. We've been doing the Bible Memory Challenge. So you still have until the last day of the month at midnight to be able to quote all of the 25 verses that you have memorized for this month if you were doing that challenge. So it's not over yet, obviously, but I wanted to list here the December challenge is our singing challenge. And the challenge for December is to stop listening to worldly music and sing four hymns every day. So that starts December 1. So I wanted to make sure that that's in the bulletin. I'll be preaching a little bit about that this morning, too. So if you are wondering why we even are doing this, why is this a thing, I'll be preaching a little bit more about that this morning. And then the Bible memory passage. So again, so Hebrews chapter 5 is due tonight. You have until midnight tonight to quote Hebrews chapter 5 if you have not done so already. And I just listed here, we're rolling right into Hebrews chapter 6 starting tomorrow. So 11 weeks for that. There's like 20 verses, I think, in Hebrews chapter 6. So you get one review week. Two verses per week is the pace that we've been doing. So hopefully you're going to continue on through this, through the book of Hebrews. Upcoming birthdays are listed down there at the bottom of the page for the month, the rest of November as well as December. And then on the back, we've got the events. Of course, the Gingerbread House of Christmas Caroling. We went over that already. Potluck in between church services. So Christmas Day is a Sunday. And we will be having a potluck meal in between the church services. And that will be followed up by our evening service. So that's going to be pushed up a couple hours, probably around 3 o'clock is what we're going to plan on for that. So we'll have a couple of hours at least to eat, enjoy fellowship, get cleaned up, and get everything ready so we can have church service again. And then the New Year's Eve fellowship is Saturday, December 31st from 2 to 7. We're going to have a lot of fun and games and just kind of hanging out here. So we'd love to have you here for that. And then the building, I don't have this on here, but the building construction is starting tomorrow. So tomorrow we are knocking down this wall right here, going from there all the way to the wall. It's all coming down, and we've got the space already leased next door. And I see a lot of work has been done. I appreciate everyone who's volunteered their time. We got some painting done over there. I'd like to get some painting done over here. The pulpit's going to be after today, the pulpit's going to be back there, and all the chairs will be facing this way. So, excuse me. This tonight, what we have to do, since all the demo work and everything is going to be done this week, is we need to move everything that is near in the vicinity of the walls that are going to be taken down. And even we're going to move the chairs, too, so that there's just room for the workers to be able to easily come in with their tools and be able to work without any obstructions here. So we'll have a lot of extra work to do probably then on Wednesday as well, just making sure that things are cleaned up and in order for church service. So anyone who wants to come early on Wednesday a little bit to help get that, just making sure that we're good to go for Wednesday service. Wednesday service will probably be in the middle of construction, so bear that in mind as well. Things won't be completed just in a few days. It's going to take a little bit more time than that, but they're going to try to get everything done, excuse me, so that things will be much more functional and look a lot better for next Sunday. And yeah, that's about it. So after service tonight, there's the stuff in the foyer because that other wall is coming down in between the foyer and the current mother baby room. And we're expanding that area as well. And so we're going to have that bookshelf and other things to move over to this side of the building. So we can go over those plans. Anyone who wants to stick around after church tonight, we appreciate the help. And it's exciting. Looking forward to getting into our new space. We've been growing. And it'll definitely be put to use. So praise God for the ability to even not have to move and stay in this space and be able to expand. So it's really good. But that's about it for our announcements. So at this time, I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Jesse. He's going to lead us in our next song.
right, for the third song we're singing is song number 24. And can it be that song 24? We will sing all three verses. It's song number 24, and can it be? Please turn to your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. That's Deuteronomy chapter 31. We will be reading the entire chapter. That's Deuteronomy chapter 31. You can follow along silently while Brother Devin reads. That's Deuteronomy chapter 31.
Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that day. They are turned unto other gods. Excuse me. Now therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Brother Kevin Doty, can you pray for us? Amen.
All right, so as I mentioned in the announcements, coming up in December is our December challenge, it's our singing challenge. I like the singing challenge a lot because the goal is twofold. One is to incorporate more singing praises unto the Lord just in your daily life. All of our challenges are meant to help you to improve your spiritual walk with God, just different aspects of the Christian life. We're there to challenge you and to help you hopefully make new patterns and new habits, good habits to form at home so that you're doing more of the things that God would have you to do, more praying, Bible reading, soul winning, singing, you know, all these great things that the Bible lays out, very simple things. But things that often will you have a tendency sometimes to kind of fall by the wayside. We get distracted. We got a lot of other things going on in our life. And then some of the things that we ought to be doing end up getting pushed aside. And we don't come back to that stuff. So one of the goals with the challenges is to say, hey, look, let's not forget about these things. In fact, we should be striving to be doing more of the stuff that we know is good and know it's right. And maybe you do some of these things anyways that we do challenging, you know, soul winning. A lot of people go soul winning anyways. The point is to try to push yourself to do just a little bit more, at least for that month. So I love this one, the singing challenge, because singing ought to be a part of our lives. It's a very, very important part of our service, of the service to the Lord. In fact, keep your place here. We'll come back to Deuteronomy 31. And just turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'll read for you from 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles 6:31, the Bible says, "And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest." So, after the children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness, remember, God freed them from Egypt. Then Moses received the law of God, the commandments. That's when they created the ark. That's when they got the Ten Commandments. That's when they got all these various things. That's when they built the tabernacle and had this place for God to dwell within the midst of the children of Israel. And they wandered about for 40 years. Then they finally settled in the promised land, and for many, many, many years throughout the reign of all the judges, you still had the service of the tabernacle. And it wasn't until King David where he had it in his heart to build a house unto the Lord. So he's just saying, hey, look, we are able to live in these great houses. God's blessed us. Why should the ark of God have to be in a tent, like in this tabernacle? Why can't we build a house for God? So God explains to him, of course, he's like, well, I don't need a house, right? Like I don't need anything. You know, the tabernacle's been fine. It's the way it is. That's what I like. But the fact that you had that in your heart, it wasn't a bad thing. You know, you're trying to do what's right or whatever. And David didn't just go ahead and do anything on his own. He still sought the Lord. He still sought the prophet. And the prophet was able to come back to him and say, okay, hey, here's the deal. You know, the fact that was in your heart, God likes that. And God's going to allow for this to be done, just not in your lifetime. But one of the things that happens with the building of the temple is you've got this more solid structure, and there's a change, a little bit of a change in the what the Levites had to do, because when the tabernacle was around, there was different Levites had jobs according to the setting up, rearing up of the tabernacle, and all these different things that they had to do, especially when they were moving a lot. There was a lot more work to be done, I think. And what we end up seeing here is that when it becomes stationary, David sets up people who are in charge of the singing and music, and service to God in that capacity. And it's a very big thing. There's instruments that are added, and the music really gets ramped up in the service to the Lord. And it was not something that was taken lightly either. It was not just an afterthought. It was not something that, like, well, who are we going to get to do this? Well, who cares? We'll just get just anybody to fill in and do the music. That's not the way it was set up at all. In fact, I'm not going to get too deep into this, but the people, and you could read in Chronicles, the people who were selected to do the music were chief of the heads of their houses. They were people of stature. People had important positions. They were not just a random person. They were leaders. They were people who were looked up to that were put in these positions, illustrating us and showing that, hey, these were important jobs. This was an important position. It wasn't just something that's just like, who cares? Like, well, we'll just add some music and whatever. No, it was a big deal to have this, and the people who were set over this business, that was their job day in and day out to see to the music of the Lord. And, you know, when you have the mindset of everything that we ought to do in service to the Lord, we ought to do the best of our ability, no matter what that is. And this morning, I'm going to be preaching about singing and the service of song, as it were. First, I'll keep reading his verse. Says, and these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order. Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the Bible, I mean, this is basically a commandment. Ephesians also has a similar passage about the same exact teaching here from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And how are we going to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So notice what it says here, teaching and admonishing one another. So obviously I would say if we're teaching and admonishing one another, that's going to be singing done in the church, right, when the congregation is together, because we're teaching and admonishing one another. Two, we notice that the singing has teaching. There ought to be teaching in the songs. And in fact, I would say this, music in general teaches you. So there's two aspects to our challenge. One was to sing four hymns every day. Psalm, hymn, spiritual song. Okay, like the Bible says here, what we ought to be singing. Praises to our God. The other aspect is to stop listening to and singing worldly music. Getting the worldly stuff out of your life. Get it out. And I'm going to go through, as we go through some of these things, and look, the subject of music in general is very deep, and there's a lot of points that can be made. You could go back and listen. I preached on this many times. Music is powerful. Music is so powerful in our lives. And you know, I'm just going to plead with you right now. Please don't let this teaching go in one ear and out the other. Okay? I consider a very important part of your spiritual life. When you start allowing the world's garbage into your mind and into your heart, and you know, even stirring up your soul, be careful with that. And when I say be careful, I would say don't allow that. Just shut it off from your life. Now look, you choose and you do whatever you want with your life. This isn't some rule to attend Stronghold Baptist Church, you have to not listen to music. Look, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, what I'm teaching you, and we're going to see from Scripture how powerful music really can be. How, one, it's important in the worship of God. We can see that. But two, music inherently teaches. You are getting teaching. We started in Deuteronomy 31 Because God is instructing Moses to teach them the song and say, look, you need to make sure that everybody learns this song. For a very good reason. Because, one, there's a lot of teaching in the song that God doesn't want them to forget about. So he's using music, he's using song to teach and to instruct, and not only to teach and instruct, but for that to stay with them, to stay in remembrance. So look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. The Bible says, now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. The song is going to be a witness. The song is speaking. The song has a message. Now, it's not just God's songs that have messages. You think that the worldly music does not have a message that they're trying to send out when you turn on the radio and listen to the songs of the world? You better believe it has a message. Now look, I'm going to break it down real simple. Musicians of the world, what do we call them? Artists, right? Have you ever seen an interview with one of these artists, one of these musicians? Maybe you've heard them talk about the message that they're trying to get across through their music. I mean, look, even art has messages that people are trying to get across in like paintings, right? There's you read about people and what they're trying to express and the message they're trying to deliver just in an image. But this is much more than just an image. This is words. This is verbal communication going into your mind. And what artists will try to do is they use real poetic language, and sometimes they use real colorful language to try to implant a thought in your mind. Now, they may not think there's anything wrong or bad or, you know, sinister about what they're doing. They don't have to. Okay? But what you need to understand is that even if someone isn't intentionally trying to be devious and say, ah, ha, ha, I'm going to plant this thought in their mind, the worldly music is coming from a source of the world. And the Bible teaches that the things of the world are not of the Father. And when you have people who are unsaved, that don't have the Spirit of God, they're going to be coming up with whatever comes out of their heart. Just the thoughts and intents of their heart, which the Bible teaches, hey, you know, that the heart of man is wicked. Who can know it, right? The thoughts and intents of the heart is evil, and you need to be careful to say, well, Pastor Burton, not all songs are wicked. Look, I'm not going to say every song is wicked, but think about the source. Think about what is coming out of it. Think about the influence that songs have. I mean, just from a real basic standpoint, if there's music playing and you have a little toddler around, they're going to start moving their body in a certain way when they hear music. I mean, this is just, regardless of good music, bad music, anything, they do that. Why? Because they're being moved by the music. That should just be a testimony to the power that music can have over people. And look, it's not just little toddlers that do that. All the way on up. And different music is designed for different things. And you think of all the genres of music that exist out there, and they're designed even to make people move their bodies in different ways. You know, the people who dance at a hip-hop concert are different from the people who dance at a heavy metal concert. Right? Yeah. Right? I mean, think about the world. Like, just think of, like, two just really opposing types of styles of worldly music out there. They instill different things. They instill different emotions. And oftentimes, the subject matter, the content of the words of the song goes along with the style of music that's even being played. I mean, there's a reason why heavy metal is a lot to do with death and destruction and things like that, because it's da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's a type of song, it's a type of music that's going to instill you with maybe some more aggression or rage or anger and those types of emotions. And look, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. This is what, I mean, just look at it for what it is. Now, you may like the way that it makes you feel. You may like to turn that on and listen to that because it's pleasurable to your body. But since when in a Christian's life is doing what feels good the right thing to do? Hey, fornication, it feels really good. Adultery, it feels really good. Hey, doing drugs, it feels really good. But is that what you're supposed to be doing? The music feels so good. Yeah. Music can do that. It does do that. Music can get so ingrained in your life and become part of your life. I know this firsthand because I love music. I love music. And for the longest time, I loved all the world's music. And this is not something that's easy to deal with, especially in the world we live in today, because music's playing all over the place everywhere you go. But it's something that gets deep inside of you. And it can be very, very difficult to remove. I mean, it could almost feel like you're cutting off a limb when you're trying to get rid of music out of your life. Because you become so attached to it. Because you like it so much. You enjoy it so much. And when you like things like that, sometimes in your mind, you're going to overlook the things that logically you might be able to see to be true, but you don't really want to think about that because you enjoy this so much. And what I want to do is separate, point that out to you first and foremost. Just point that out. Recognize it for what it is before you even start analyzing and say, is what Pastor Burns is saying true? Should I be getting rid of the worldly music in my life? Is it really that bad? Well, let's just look at what Scripture says, just in general. Let's use the principles of the Bible to say, is this right? Is this true? And use some of your own common sense as well. The teaching aspect of song is just irrefutable. There's a reason why the alphabet is put to a tune, right? The ABCs. I mean, how many people in this room that have kids did not use any form of music at all for your kids to learn their ABCs? It was just A, B, C. Did anybody do that? I didn't think so. Look, we didn't. It was A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And you know what that tune is? Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And it probably is applied to other words too. Okay, it's a tune. Why is that used? Because instruction, because teaching, because it's going to stay in their minds, because they're going to recollect this stuff. Okay, so did I say that every single tune out there is of the devil that's not in church? No. No. But be careful with what tunes, with what teaching, with what songs you want to use. And, you know, I would even go as far as to say the tune does matter. Okay, the type or style of music that's played, because of the emotion, because of the you know, what it can do in your body, the impact, it matters. So if you're thinking about how instructive, and here the thing is with Deuteronomy 31, what we see here, let's reread some of these verses. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. What God is saying is that there's going to come a time, they're in this great land, they're going to grow rich and fat, and then they're going to turn to other gods. So they're no longer going to be worshiping the Lord. They're going to turn and go after other gods, but this song is still going to remain. You want to talk about the power of a song? People that don't even want to follow the Lord anymore, they still have this song. They still know this song. It's still part of their culture. It's still part of who they are. Because this song is standing the test of time, because that's what songs can do. They can stay around for generations and generations and generations. I mean, how long has Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star been around? I don't know. I don't know the origin of that song. But I know it's been a really long time. These tunes and melodies and this song, the design of this song was that, hey, when they just completely forget about me and start going after other gods, they're still going to know this song, and it's still going to testify, and this song is teaching, and it's right there for anyone who wants to be aware and go, oh, wait a minute, did you ever think about this song? Because a lot of people just repeat songs anyways without even thinking about what they mean. After they've already been implanted in your head, then you start thinking, oh, well, I never really thought about that, what that really means. I mean, how many words have come out of your mouth where you're singing along to some stupid worldly song, and it's blasphemous? Or it's talking about things that are wicked and sinful and things that you shouldn't be doing at all. I mean, look at the world's music. What is promoted by the world's music? What is taught? Drugs, women, money. Alcohol, I mean, like what? What is really being taught? And I'm not, I have other sermons where I've gone a lot more in depth on that. You can go down the list. I mean, give me any famous artist out there, worldly. It's going to be very, very, very easy to point out all of the problems with that music. Very easy. Especially these. I mean, you talk about modern stuff, like really modern stuff. It's just Satan worship. And it's not that the other stuff isn't. Now it's just out in the open Satan worship. I mean, you've got common, just the modern artists are artists, right? Again, I'm going to use that term loosely, but they're out there dressing up in like devil masks and performing on stage and doing all manner of base, filthy acts on stage. Yeah. Oh, but I like their music. Oh, but I like their voice. God may have blessed them with a beautiful voice, but man, God also blessed Satan as being a very beautiful creature. And having these tablets and pipes and all adorned with all these stones and precious jewels, he looks so great and looks so beautiful and looks like an angel of light. But he's the devil. Don't get sucked in by the beauty of a voice. Especially when their inside is toxic. What are you being taught? What are you allowing yourself to be taught and stay with you? What songs do you want repeating over and over in your head? They're designed to stay in memory. Would to God I could have gotten this teaching and had parents that kept me from this stuff way early on. Because my mind is filled with garbage. World's garbage. You know, thankfully, over time, it's not, the power weakens. It's not quite as prevalent. It's not as much at the forefront of your mind, all the time as it is when you're just pumping it into your ears all the time. You're pumping, how many people, when you leave church, right, we sing songs, still might have a hymn in your head that we sang that same day. Right? I mean, it happens to us all the time. I know my kids, I'll hear them singing some of the songs that we sang in church today. That's what music does. Well, what happens when you listen to other music? The same thing. It just stays in your head, and you're going to be rethinking about it over and over and over again. Even if you're not consciously just analyzing it, it's going over and over and over. And you think that doesn't have any impact on choices that you make? Or even on the way that you think? Really? Really? You think that if you just, you could listen to all the music in the world that's going to glorify the doing of drugs and drinking booze and all this other stuff and make it sound so cool, but you're never going to be have the temptation to have anything to do with that, right? Look, I know better. I was tempted by it. When I was a young teenager, that's when the movie The Doors came out. Right, glorifying the band from the 60s and 70s that was all about drug use. You know what I thought? Wow, that's pretty cool. Because they're portrayed as being cool. And how many kids, I'm going to join the 27 Club, and all these musicians that died in their own vomit and overdosed and everything else and died miserable deaths at the age of 27. Super young, and it's glorified. You know what? Maybe that's not your genre of music, but you know what? Whatever it is, it's coming out of the world. That's a glorification of death is what that is. But I don't see anything wrong. And you could listen to some door songs and be like, well, I don't see what's wrong with that. The pop songs, right? Especially from, you compare it to today, you'd be thinking, wow, there's nothing wrong with that. No, there's a lot wrong with that. Just because things have gotten so bad now doesn't mean that the stuff from 40 or 50 years ago or 60 years ago or 70 years ago, however long ago, wasn't wicked. It just shows you how much the culture has devolved into accepting just pure, open filth. Yeah. It's music. And you know, everything that goes along with it. You know, back in Elvis's day, Elvis Presley, I mean, we're talking old school stuff, right? They wouldn't allow him dancing because he was shaking his hips. On stage, they wouldn't allow that on TV because the society wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't tolerate it. Now you've got people practically nude engaging in these acts on stage that's like just belongs in the bedroom. And that's aired on primetime. Now you've got live streaming of the homo parade. Well, there's all manner of filth put on display and out in the public eye. But look, back in the days of Elvis, that was bad, and it still is. And that power of that music got into the minds of a generation. And the rebellion. There's a reason why rock and roll people, you know, the rock and roll singers, musicians, like all have long hair. Yeah. Because their music is all about rebellion. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 teaches us that, you know, that God is supposed to be your head. And if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. And in order for a man to honor his head, which is Christ, to give respect and honor unto his head, he ought to have short hair. His head ought to be uncovered. No, I'm going to grow it out, man. Why? Because you have no respect for God. That's why. There's a spirit that goes along with the different. And look, I'm picking the ones that are easy. Go ahead. Apply it, though. I don't know. I don't know what you listen to. Hopefully none of that garbage. You know, the songs, the godly songs, they ought to be songs of praise. Right? We're praising the Lord, praising something. And I would say this, I'd say just about every song is praising something. So what are the worldly songs praising? Turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms. Turn to Psalm 33. I'll read for you from 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." So the words of the song that David wrote is all about praising the Lord. God being there. God is his defender. God is his trust. God is his fortress. God is his refuge. That was in 2 Samuel 22. I mean, you read through the Psalms, you're going to find a lot of the same thing. But think about this. Oh, believer, oh, saved Christian, born again. The Bible says that you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why are all things become new? Because you have this new creature residing inside of you. The new man. Should we be indulging that new creature, that new man, in the old songs of the world? The natural man, the things that appeal to your flesh? Or should we be choosing to benefit the spiritual man? Especially with something as powerful as music. How many times does the word, you know, the words new song appear in Scripture? It happens quite a few times. Actually, I've got a few references to it here, at least five from my notes. A new song. A new song. Why even have references to a new song? Do you think God just wants you just writing out a brand new song, like new lyrics? I don't think so. I mean, that could be the definition of a new song. But the reason why you're singing a new song, because it's a new song for you. Just like you have a new creature, and the old things are passed away, all things have become new. Well, we ought to have a new song as well. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 3, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Flip over to Psalm 40. Verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." So you know what the new song is in his mouth? Praising God. Because the old song doesn't praise God. The old song praises the things of the world. But you know what the new song does? The new song praises God. That's what the new song, and you know, we're going to see this very consistently with these other references to new song and praising God. See the correlation between the new song and praising God. Psalm 96. Verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." That new song blesses his name and shows forth his salvation. Psalm 98, verse 1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Again, praising God. Why do we sing unto the Lord a new song? Because he has done marvelous things. That's why we're singing a new song, because God is great, because God has gotten him the victory, because God is good. That's why we're praising God. We have that new song, Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 9, the Bible says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. The new song and singing the praises there are used interchangeably. Verse 1 of Psalm 149, Psalm 149, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. And I'll read this for you. Turn, if you would, to, since you're in Psalms, flip back to Psalm 69. Isaiah 42, verse 8, the Bible reads, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that there is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. So even in Isaiah, that new song, his praise. The new song should be praising the Lord. Psalm 69 is a very, I think, a very moving psalm. Psalm 69 is a lot of prophecies and even the mindset of Jesus Christ that we could see from this psalm. But what I want to point out here is there's a verse we're going to get to. We're going to start reading in verse number 7. There's a verse that talks about the song of drunkards. Now, does that sound like a good thing or a bad thing? The song of drunkards. Probably not a good thing, right? I mean, we know being a drunkard isn't a good thing. Being a drunkard is something that's going to get a believer kicked out of church and disfellowshipped. That's how serious it is to God and to the church. So I don't think we want to be singing the song of drunkards. Especially in this context. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Now, tying this to Christ, I mean, you remember when they, according to the New Testament, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, when he was driving out the people from the temple? Let's jump down to verse 28. Actually, no, I'm going to turn there myself. I want to read more of this psalm because this is, I noted some of the parts I really want to get to, but this is, let's get all of this in context because I think this is more powerful that way. Verse number 13, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Are we getting the picture here of who we're talking about? Of who's being brought low, of who's in shame and dishonor, and who's left all alone, who also has become the song of the drunkard, the ridicule and the mocking. But what if that song of the drunkard just had that great tune to it? And it just snapped and it was just great. Oh, then that makes it all okay, right? Some blasphemous song about Jesus Christ? And isn't it interesting? You look at the musicians of the world, they all have religious undertones and themes. You cannot deny it. How much? And not just religious, Christian. I mean, you can go back to any genre of pretty much of any era. And what do they talk about? They talk about Christ. Usually in a derogatory manner or, you know, in some way to bring him down. I mean, it is almost astonishing how much music actually brings. And it's not necessarily every single song, right? Depends on the band. Some do more than others. But they bring it up. And they'll talk about Christ. And you know what? Sometimes you may use this as a justification. I brought this up in the past, but I had a justification for listening to Metallica. It was my favorite band growing up in like the 90s and the late 80s. And they had songs, and I was like, oh, I justified to my mom saying, but Mom, they're talking about the Passover. Yeah, because the name of the song is Creeping Death. But that sounds like a godly song, right? I mean, just off the name. And it is. It's about Passover, but it's about the death angel. It's about, it's just focused on death. It's, you know, and it's not, you know, completely right, but that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I was filling my head with that stuff all the time. And do you think, you know, this is a side note. I still want to keep on going with Psalm 69, but you think music that has so much influence by sending a message, by being able to prompt you to move your body in a particular way, do you think a music that has that much power to be in your memory, to have a message, to influence how you might even move your body, you think that that's not going to also potentially influence some other aspect of your life? And some other decisions that you make about something completely unrelated to music. You're a fool if you think that that music, you can isolate that and separate that from all the rest of your life. Even from the spirit that you have around your own family, around other people that you love. It's going to impact you. It's going to impact it. Don't think that you can just, well, I'm just going to indulge in all of the world's garbage, and it won't impact anything else. I beg to differ. Let's keep reading here in Psalm 69. This is important. Verse 21 again. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. This is a curse. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Contrast the song of the drunkard talking about Christ in his low estate when he was bearing the sins of the world, when he was going through and suffering the shame and the mocking and ridiculing of the songs of the drunkard. Everything's mirth, everything's fun, right? All the songs they're going to play when you go to the watering hole, when you go to the bar and everyone's just having a good time and they're playing all this music. You know what they're not playing down there? They're not playing praises to the Lord. You want these real simple ways of discerning what do you think is good music and what is bad music? We've all been around those environments that are playing all the, you know, all the music that are playing down there, not good. Not good. I mean, that's just, ought to just be obvious. But part of my job here is spelling out the obvious. When you read Psalm 69 and you look at what Jesus went through, I don't care if some band has one song that denigrates Christ. You want to listen to anything that they have to put out? I mean, seriously, do you want to listen to anything that someone puts out that's going to put some mockery of Christ or just downplay it or whatever and just has blasphemous music? Do you want to listen to anything that they have to offer? I hope not. How do you think that makes Christ feel? Oh, I'm just not going to listen to that one song. And you think I don't know this from experience? I know this from experience. I wanted to make excuses for all the wicked songs that bands put out, but man, I just love that music. It's a draw. It's like a drug, okay? And maybe it's not for everybody. I know my wife isn't as impacted by music as I am. Okay, but I know I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not alone in this. I mean, music gets to your core. It is not to be trifled with. And I would say this, if you are currently, you just engage in listening to worldly music, whatever, on a regular basis, a normal basis for you, take part of this challenge. See if you can do it. I would say this, if you're addicted to worldly music, that's a problem in itself. Not even just, I mean, if you have an addiction to something, that's not good. That's sinful. When you're just addicted to, now, you're addicted to soul winning, great, okay? If you're addicted to the things of God, okay. But when you have some other addiction that you just can't control and you can't stop, you better make sure you got control of yourself. I mean, use this challenge to say, hey, can I turn off my radio? Can I drive in a car without music playing in my car? Now, look, I'm not even saying you have to drive without music. How about you play some godly music? Yeah. If you want to listen to music, there's plenty of good music. Listen to some godly music. But can you do it without turning on the world's garbage? Can you do that? And it pleases God. Like Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with song. And then verse 31 says, this also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. You're praising God. God likes that more than your sacrifice. God likes that more than you opening up your wallet and going, man, today I am given the biggest sacrifice. Well, this isn't going to be a good illustration. But this is all I got in my wallet. I'm giving it all to God today, right? I'm making this big sacrifice. God would prefer You singing praises to him out of your heart. Seriously, that God would rather you do that than dig deep and write that check and give all the money. And if you're in a church that's going to tell you opposite, you're in the wrong church, by the way. The churches that are trying to get you to dig into your pockets and give all your money isn't the right church to be in. Watch out for that. God doesn't need your money, and neither do I. God will provide. God has provided for this church. God's going to continue to provide for this church. Yes, it comes through people, but you know what? God's going to make sure we have what we need. And you know what? We don't need what we don't have. We don't. We've never had a problem. We never will have a problem. I'm going to close on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You could turn if you'd like. If not, I'm just going to read two verses. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 4 and 5. The Bible reads, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Mirth there, I mean mourning, obviously, sad, sorrowful, and mirth just being joyful, partying, whatever, right? The house of mirth versus the house of mourning. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. If you need the rebuke today, take the rebuke. It's better for you than to go out of here and turn on the song of fools and just forget about everything you heard today. As I said at the beginning, you do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to do. I'm trying to help. You could take it from somebody who has already had to go through this, and you know, I'm more passionate about this because it's impacted my life. Just like alcohol, just like some other things, I get real passionate about the things that have had the direct impact in my life. I'm not lying to you this morning. Okay, you take it or leave it, but you're getting the warning. Okay, you go out of here, listen to the song of fools, you're going to be left in a foolish state. It's going to impact your life more than you know. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the great music that you've given us. God, I love music. I love the fact that we could sing and make joyful sounds and noises and praise your name, dear Lord, and have great soul-stirring songs that are godly and acceptable, Lord. And I pray that you would please help us to extol your name and be able to not succumb to the lusts and desires of our flesh, to just indulge in the worldly, fleshly music, dear Lord, but that we could purify ourselves and get our minds right, that if we have the desire to sing and we have the desire to play music, that we would do so in a way that's godly and edifying and that you will find acceptable, and that we wouldn't waste our time singing the song of fools and the songs of drunkards, dear Lord, but that we could sing songs that are pure and righteous and honest in your eyes and that teach us good things. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we're dismissed. Brother Jesse's going to lead us.
All right, for the final song, we're going to sing song number 153, How Firm a Foundation. Let's sing with all our hearts. We think about how firm, you know, a foundation God is to us and his word. And we'll sing all five verses. That's song number 153, How Firm a Foundation.